Anthony's and Outreach Ministry. Time really flies by. Last year, I was able to attend the English Service Christmas party. As you can see some of the pictures in here, it surely brought back a lot of memories and fun and a time that we can gather together. Coming to the end, the last Sunday of 2020, there's no more gathering at church. We are all isolated in our home, having turkey or a family dinner of our own. We'll no longer be able to have such a large gathering as before. Thank you, Isadora, for reading out the scripture for today. When I think about a topic for this year, especially for today, normally there's a tradition of count the blessings of our Lord for the last year. And when I come across a scripture, the first scripture that came into my mind was Hannah, who was sincerely praying to God in First Book of Samuel. He asked God for a son, and eventually God gave her a son, Samuel. So in later on in the first chapter, it goes on and said Hannah would dedicate Samuel when he turned about 3 years old. And he became the last judges and the first prophet of Israelite histories. But if you read further down the chapters of the first book of Samuel, you'll notice there will be a bad example happening from Saul, which is today's scriptures. But before we go on the scripture we just read, I want to go back a little bit on chapter 15. Here's the command that the Lord wants Samuel to tell the king Saul of what to do. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." Lord specifically gave a simple instruction to Saul: wipe them out. Nothing to be left behind. But when you go back to history, in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, you noticed what happened back then when the Israelites were in the wilderness. The Amalekites step up, they attack the Israelites from ambush. So they fought the war. So Moses would direct Joshua to pick some of the men and go fight against the Amalekites. While on the other hand, Moses take Aaron and Hur up on the hill. That was one of the biggest battles so far they have been doing. Every time when Moses raised up the staff, the Israelites will win. And when he became tired and lowered his hand, the Amalekite will win. Remember that story, right? So God remember how the Amalekites doing to his chosen people. So he told King Saul after a few hundred years to pay the revenge and wipe them out. So what is Saul's response? He attacked the Amalekites all the way to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. But he took Agai, the king of Amalekite, alive, and all his people were totally destroyed with the sword. The scripture says here, listen, "But Saul and the army spared King Agai and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lamb. Everything that was good, these they were unwilling to destroy completely, but because everything that was despised and weak were totally destroyed. So Saul didn't follow the instruction completely. He chose to keep the king, and he chose to keep the best, because he think those cattle, those rams, and the animals were supposed to be offered as a sacrifice to the Lord. But look what happened after. Verse 10 and 11. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I made Saul the king, because he has turned away from me, and he has not carried out my instructions. It's a very dangerous, or I would say disappointed, situation. God is now regretted to anoint Saul as the king of Israel. Imagine, Saul was the first king being anointed in this Israel history, because they've been quarreled. They wanted a king. They wanted somebody to lead them. They don't like Moses. But what he did, this king as a leader cannot even follow a simple instruction for the Lord. So in verse 15, 13, and 20, here's the Bible said. When Samuel reached to Saul, he said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instruction." Saul answered in 15, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But then we totally destroyed the rest." So Saul in 15, he blamed it on his people. But he's the king. He could have made the decision. If he chose to spare the king, what would happen to his followers? Obviously, they would not follow the instructions. And then he keep on making up excuses. He said, "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned to me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agai, their king." If you go back to the scripture, to what Samuel told Saul, that was complete opposite. He didn't complete the mission. He did it partially, I would say, to be honest. Not fully. So look what happened. Samuel go and rebuke Saul. He said, "For rebellion is like the sin of divinations, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you as a king." And Samuel go on and said, "I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you the king over Israel." He goes on and tells Saul the consequence. Even though Saul in the story repent and say sorry, that didn't help. So what is the end result? Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one of your neighbors, to one better than you. Until the day Samuel died," the scripture says on verse 35, he did not go see Saul again, although Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul the king over the Israel. What a bad example to learn. In today's scriptures, I want to focus on a couple of verses. Here on 22 and 23, Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord?" And I specifically highlighted it. To obey, it's better than sacrifice. And to heed, it's better than the fat of ram. So how do we obey and heed? I can give you a few of the examples from the Bible to follow the Lord's commands. The first one is the Great Commandment. It was listed on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then Jesus, in the book of Mark, in the Gospels, also rephrased the same command, but also added, love your neighbor as yourself. Following God's command, it's not easy, but it's not difficult either. We as a Christians are being tempted to this world because the devil wants us to drift us away, wandering around, and not following the God's path. So the Lord Jesus would tell us while we pray in the Lord's Prayer to help us to lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. So the first principle is to follow the Great Commandment. Always try to meditate God's Word. Jesus gave us a great example in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Philippians, where he humbled God's will to become a faithful servant, die for us, for our sin, on the cross. He could have sit on the throne, enjoying his life as a king. But the scripture said here, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Think about it. Jesus gave us a great example. He loves the world so much. He came on a mission. Christmas just came by. In a few months later, we're going to celebrate Easter and Good Friday. He gave us a great example for being humble and submissive to God's will. And then in the wisdom book, the Proverbs, it also said, in all ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I always have this scripture in my mind. How do we submit to our Lord? So first thing is, what is your daily routine? If your daily routine is all about work, it's all about family, I know those are very important, but the first thing you're going to do is to come forward to the God and spend some quiet time, meditate, and let his scriptures flow in to your mind. Renew and transform so that you can submit to what he wants us to do on a daily basis. We can always offer thousands of hours to serve the Lord. Over the last years, you came to church, you served as a different role. You can always even donate thousands and millions of dollars to nonprofit organizations. But if you do not submit to the Lord, those offerings, those hours, those monies that you have donated, God will not like it. And that's what happened in here. God doesn't like Saul's offering, or an offering without an obedience mind. Jesus gave us a warning in the book of Matthew. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the only one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and your name perform many miracles? Jesus would turn to them. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Every time when I read these scriptures, my heart starts to pound, thinking, will Jesus say this to me in my futures when I die and go to see him? Brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of 2020s, I want to give you a challenge. A challenge to offer yourself as a life sacrifice to the Lord. He's asking a simple request from all of us. Throughout the book of Bible, you see a lot of commands. And a command is to love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. Here, I give you a couple of examples. In the book of Psalm, when David committed adultery, he wrote this Psalm 51. He said, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart to you, God will not despise." Sometimes, in a Thanksgiving sharing, a lot of brother and sister would bring a lot of success, whatever God has done to them, and that's true. And that's amazing too. God has worked for you. But sometimes, have we brought a broken soul, a broken spirit to the Lord, where he will not despise? And then in the book of Romans, Paul goes on and said, in the chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." The Lord, our God, can take away the pandemic like this in a snap. But he chose not to. Why? Why he led the pandemic for the last 9 months and could be continuing on in 2021? I have no clue. I have no answer. But he wants us to be faithful. He wants us to pray. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to rely on him and pray. In his time, I'm sure he will let this go away. Here Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I would add on not just our body, but our soul and mind as well. To let God fully control our body. This is what Paul suggests us to do. When we offer our body, soul and mind, we have no control at all. We'll have God to take ownership of our body. So our full body, our living body, whatever we think, whatever we do, whatever we speak, God has control. I surrender my mind to him. So the next time, if you want to let the Holy Spirit to work on you, the first thing you must do is to surrender yourself. We are no longer belong to us. Our old self, it's gone. But this is a hard work. Devil always tempted us to be like us. The me, our ego, would tell us what to do. And I can tell you, this is a lifelong process. And in the Bible, this is what we call sanctification. A process which goes on as we as a Christian to become holy. Let me give you a couple of life application before I close today's sermon. Ask yourself these questions. What is your attitude towards serving God today? Do we just come to Sunday service just to make up our failing week? Yeah, I just want to come to Sunday and repent. I took the cup next week and the bread and ask God for forgiveness. And then Monday, I just change it back to go on my rampage or go on my argument with my family and I just browse the web and play video games and do all this. Is that how our daily life being like? Do we read the Bible regularly, but not living out the word? We have a lot of head knowledge. We can recite a lot of scriptures. Oh, we know the story inside out. But it's not enough to know the story inside out. It's not enough. Even to tell the story clearly, word by word. Make no mistake. It is critical to know the story inside out. But we also need to become the story. We ourselves are the story. The gospel must infuse our own life. Next year, NDCC, all three congregations, will start the 40-day devotion journey. The Cantonese will start on January the 4th. I spoke to Pastor Jonathan a couple of days ago. English will start a little bit later, but that's okay. On the 40-day devotionals, you're going to receive materials from the pastoral team. I would encourage you to participate the 40-day journey. I would consider this as a spiritual formation exercise to get ourselves rolling and prepare in the future events. First, I want you to quiet before God. When you receive the material, don't just rush and do it. Spend some quiet time before the Lord and meditate. Number two is to read the scripture slowly. We have a tendency to rush through our stuff. Devotion is no exception. Because this is the way we do. We multitask. We can't sit on the same thing for longer than half an hour. We have to really, really slowing down our momentum to let the scripture speak to our mind. You can read the scripture not just two times, three times, but you can go on and read 10 times and stop at the word when it strikes you. Then you do the exercise. There are a couple of reflection questions on the material, and I want you to stop and reflect. There's no right or wrong answers, by the way. It's you, between you and Lord. And after that, I would recommend you share your thoughts with your small group, even with the pastors or the leadership team. What God has spoken to you. This is a great way to encourage each other. Finally, my last thing is to fully obey God's will not just partially, like Saul did. Saul made a big mistake, and we learn from big mistakes all the time. From the Bible, God doesn't like us to do 50% or 80%. He wants our full attention, full commitment, our whole body. He warned in the book of Leviticus, he warned a lamb or a cattle which is no blemish. It's the firstborn. How do we offer ourselves to our Lord? It's the first 10% of our income. It's our whole living body to Christ. So in closing, I pray that everyone at NTCC will continue in 2021 to let the Holy Spirit renew our mind and transform our body. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the time today. We are coming to an end of the year. We have a lot of blessings to count, and we do have a final offerings to you, Lord. Not just to make up our tax receipts, but we want to offer our body, soul, and mind to you to be used in your glory, in your ministries. Father God, we pray for the brother and sister here. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us on a daily basis. I pray that brethren and sisters will come forward to you and listen, meditate your words so that they can start their day strong and follow your instructions, submit to your will, and obey your commands. Father Lord, we thank you for the time, for your love. You are slow to anger. You did not destroy or end our relationship, just like you and Saul. We always have a second chance because you gave us, you love us. But we do not want to be like what Jesus said, I don't know you. We want to be union with you, Lord. Help us in our daily lives to be like more like you, to resist and run away from temptations. May you listen to all our prayers and blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Roland, for the message. May our life be a living sacrifice to God, living out our faith in obedience. I hand the following time to each.